Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? The Dolphins are tanking. That's the only way I can begin this episode. This is going to be a Dolphins-focused episode. We're going to be going over, of course, the huge blockbuster deal between the Texans and the Dolphins, so there will be a bit of Texans talk in there. And then we're also going to be discussing the roster cuts by the Miami Dolphins and just the overall outlook on this season for the team. Now, we're going to start with the Tunsil trade because that's, of course, what everyone wants to hear. And before we even get into that, what I have to say first is a big kind of moment of recognition for Pro Football Network. If you guys remember about two episodes ago, I was kind of, I guess, implying that their report may have not been correct in the idea that Tunsil was being shopped by the Dolphins. I thought it was a little bit too reckless of a thing to report. And that's what I said in the other episode. Well, it turns out in this case, they were right. So I do have to give them this moment of recognition and kind of, you know, be held accountable for being wrong in this instance. So 100% in this case, I was wrong and they really do deserve some props. So if you guys haven't checked them out, you can follow them on Twitter. That is at PFN365 and that is the Pro Football Network. Now to get into the details of this Tunsil trade that really took the NFL world by storm, we first have to discuss a little bit of background. Of course, Clowney was always the guy that was in the mix for this alleged Tunsil trade, but what ended up happening was the Texans traded Jadeveon Clowney to the Seahawks, a team that he wanted to go to, he wanted to contend. They traded him to the Seahawks. In return, the Texans got a third-round pick, Jacob Martin, and pass rusher Barcavius Mingo. So the Texans at this moment were getting roasted by all of Twitter. They don't have a GM at the moment, so people are saying this is what happens when you don't have a GM. And this basically, or so we thought, kind of signified the end for this possibility of Tunsil being traded. And that ended up being completely wrong because just a few hours later, the Dolphins and the Texans did a trade, and it was involving Laremy Tunsil and also wide receiver Kenny Stills. Along with those two players, the Texans also received the Dolphins' 2020 fourth round pick and their 2021 sixth round pick. Now, of course, all the Dolphins fans want to know, well, what did we get in return? We better have gotten two first round picks at the very least. Well, at least there's that, because that is what the Dolphins got. They got a 2020 first round pick, a 2021 first round pick, a 2021 second round pick, and then defensive back Johnson Bademosi and offensive tackle Julian Davenport. And that is what the Dolphins received in this trade. Now, to look at it from both sides, the Texans obviously needed an offensive tackle. People were shocked by the idea that they traded Clowney, one of their most valuable assets, for some defensive players and weren't even able to provide this blocking that Deshaun Watson so desperately needs. If they wanted any chance to contend, they needed this offensive tackle badly. And the Dolphins were, at least in my mind, that's their biggest weakness. So in order for them to give up somebody who's considered an elite player, someone who's on that trajectory to be possibly one of the best left tackles in the game, and the left tackle, remind you, is one of the most important positions in all of football, they needed to give the Dolphins an offer that was absolutely outrageous. And to an extent, it's hard to argue that they didn't. I mean, two first-round picks is huge. Then you throw in the second-round pick as well. That is going to play a huge part in this Dolphins rebuild. That is going to take their rebuild to a new level. And I'm not saying that just to be just blindly optimistic, but I'm comparing this more to what the Cleveland Browns did before they got Myles Garrett and before they got Baker Mayfield. They were trading anybody who had any sort of value, any guy who had a good performance, they were trading them because they know that one person couldn't single-handedly catapult that team to a victory and they needed a complete rebuild. So it seems that the Dolphins are kind of in that same state of mind. And now I can't say for certain that this was the right move, but I also can't say that it was the wrong move, because of course the only way that we'll be able to tell is if the Dolphins go and show us that they know how to draft some elite talent with these first-round picks, guys who can truly turn around this organization. That's the only way we'll be able to tell. So trying to make this argument right now, whether it was good or bad, there's just not going to be any kind of argument to be made just yet. It's going to be hard to argue for either point. But what I can say, though, is the Dolphins got a pretty hefty offer in return. They lost somebody who was by far, I would say, the best player on the offense for the Miami Dolphins, somebody who had the potential to be a great in the NFL for some years, but in return, they got some picks that could potentially turn the whole franchise around. So I'm just saying that I can't say right now whether it was a good or bad thing, because the Browns, like I said, when they made the good picks, when they got the Myles Garrett, when they got the Baker Mayfield, and when they had all the cap to get Odell and get Jarvis, it looks good. But when they were using those same kind of picks they had, and they got guys like Johnny Manziel and all the other guys that they wasted picks on, then it looked bad. So I just can't say for certain how it's going to pan out for the Dolphins just yet. Now, I know I was talking about Tunsil a lot here, but the Dolphins also lost their number one receiver in Kenny Stills, a guy who through 4 years had 24 touchdowns and had a really good chemistry with Tannehill. I don't think personally that he was ever a wide receiver one caliber guy, but he was very good and very consistent during his tenure with the Miami Dolphins. So I do want to give him his props. Of course, off the field, we know how much he was involved in community work with the Dolphins and as well as just acts of kindness throughout South Florida. And then, of course, he was nominated for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. So there is just a ton of good things to say about Kenny Stills that reach beyond the football field. He was a great player, but a great, tremendous player off the field. I hope he succeeds with the Texans. He's going to have the opportunity to do so. I mentioned this on Twitter before when the rumors just started circulating between Clowney and the Dolphins that Kenny Stills is a guy who could fit pretty well with Deshaun Watson. Will Fuller, as talented as he is, gets hurt an awful lot. Kiki Cutie, another guy who has some potential, but he went down last year, and then at the beginning of this season, he was carted off the field, questionable for week one. A ton of guys that you can't rely on. If the Texans truly want to make this push, they need another receiver they could count on. They got one in Kenny Stills. That was a good move for the Texans on that side. So before we get into the roster cuts, what does this trade mean for the Dolphins? Because this is probably about as obvious you can get, hits you straight on the forehead about what it is, and it is that the Dolphins are tanking, unapologetically tanking, making it about as obvious as it can be. Whether you want to use the term rebuilding or use the term tanking, I don't really care about the semantics. I've been saying that for a while. The wording doesn't really mean anything to me. The fact right now is that the Dolphins are putting together a team that is in a situation where they are not going to win a lot of games this season. If they do, it will be completely unprecedented. But on the bright side, it does appear that there is a plan in place. They are tired of this 8-8 and being stuck in the middle, and they finally, you know, put their foot to the ground and said, hey, we're going to suck this year very badly, but we're going to bounce back because we have a ton of assets, and we're going to make a very, very strong push, or at least so I hope. So that is what it's saying to me. And then with Tunsil being gone and the offensive line being in shambles, this is, of course, going to have a huge effect on any sort of development you were hoping to see with Josh Rosen. A part of me thinks that maybe the Dolphins were reluctant to trade Tunsil, but Josh Rosen just didn't show him enough to convince him that he was just this complete, undeniable franchise quarterback that they were hoping to see. So in a way, it seems like they're almost giving up on him, because I just can't see how they expect Josh Rosen to develop into something more with this offensive line. But if he can beat the odds and actually perform really well with this offensive line, then that will be incredible. But right now, it just seems like all the odds are stacked against him, and it almost seems like the Dolphins are already prepared to look to the 2020 draft to find their quarterback. Now, to discuss quarterbacks a little bit more, we're going to get into this roster breakdown, the initial 53-player roster for the Dolphins. We did have some cuts, so we'll dive in straight to the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks here are going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick, who will get the start week one, and Josh Rosen. The guy who did not make the team is Jake Rudock, which really surprised me because Ryan Fitzpatrick is a guy who has gone down with injuries quite a bit through his career. Josh Rosen, with that offensive line, there is a likelihood that he could as well. And I thought Jake Rudock played about as good as you could in that final preseason game. So I was very shocked to see that they did not include him as part of the roster. I thought they would have rolled out with three quarterbacks, but that appeared not to be the case. So we continue on to the running backs, which has to me another shocker in the fact that the Dolphins are electing to carry six running backs on the team, those being Kalen Ballage, Chandler Cox, Kenyon Drake, Miles Gaskin, Patrick Laird, and Mark Walton. Now, I'm surprised that all these guys made the team. Miles Gaskin, Patrick Laird, and Mark Walton, I really thought the Dolphins were going to elect to carry one of these guys, maybe two. Instead, they decided to shock us and carry all three of these players. Now, first one, Patrick Laird is my boy. This guy has looked tremendous all preseason. I've been raving about him over and over again. The guy runs with such intensity. You can tell, like, his vision is great. He hits the holes hard, very north and south. I love the way Patrick Laird plays, and I hope the Dolphins can find a way to get him involved. He will be buried behind a pretty talented group of guys here, but if they can find a way to involve him maybe in the pass catching duties, two back sets, that could be a very interesting dynamic here. I do think Patrick Laird, among the three that I mentioned, Gaskin, Laird, and Walton, I think Laird is the better of the three of those guys. Now, the next shocker comes at the wide receiver position. The Dolphins did elect to keep six, which a lot of people were guessing they would. I was saying that they were probably going to have to keep six just because the amount of injuries. Well, they ended up keeping six, those being Jakeem Grant, Devontae Parker, Kenny Stills, who just got traded, Preston Williams, Albert Wilson, and the surprising one to me here is Allen Hurns, because I really thought between Bryce Butler, Isaiah Ford, and Allen Hurns, Isaiah Ford would get the nod because of his age and the potential he has. And then I thought if they had to pick a second one among these guys, it would end up being Bryce Butler, because Bryce Butler looked really good last season for the Dolphins. And this preseason, he was making some very nice catches, been nothing but consistent. I'm sure he'll find another team. But I was really shocked to see the Dolphins pick Allen Hurns instead. Of course, Allen Hurns has a lot more experience, a lot more valuable experience, I would say. He had a very good season back in 2015, over 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. So that was a very good performance, but Allen Hurns was never able to quite do that again. He was with the Cowboys last season, had that terrible leg break, but clearly the Dolphins find his experience valuable. And like I've said, that the Dolphins have this love for guys who are from the Miami area. If you're from Miami, like Mark Walton and Allen Hurns, the Dolphins are probably going to keep you on their team. So they end up keeping Hurns. Miami native, guy with a ton of NFL experience, so hopefully he can provide some of this knowledge to some of the younger guys who are on this team, guys like Preston Williams and maybe someone who needs some more guidance to kind of get the edge, guys like Devontae Parker and Jakeem Grant. So that could be the case here, but I'm not entirely sure. So the next shocker comes at the tight end position. The obvious guys are Mike Gesicki, Nick O'Leary, and Durham Smythe. Dwayne Allen did not make the team, but Chris Myrick ended up making the team. He had a pretty good performance in that preseason finale, but so did Jake Rudock. Rudock did not make the team. Myrick did. I think that's a little bit shocking. I wasn't expecting that for sure, but that is what ended up happening. Now, as for the rest of the roster, guys you would expect, I'd say the next shocker comes at the linebacker position, and that is more that Kiko Alonso remains part of the team. The Dolphins were very adamant to find someone to trade for him, but they couldn't find somebody who's willing to trade, so I guess he's going to remain part of this team. I'm interested to see how this will play out. Jerome Baker, Sam McGuavin, Raekwon McMillan, all part of the team. Terrence Smith, who they picked up, former Chiefs linebacker. A lot of Chiefs fans were saying that this guy is not it. He ended up not being it. He didn't make the team. Trey Watson didn't make the team as well. Now, we move on to defensive backs here. On the roster, we got Minka Fitzpatrick, we got Walt Aiken, Xavien Howard, Rashad Jones, Chris Lamons, Bobby McCain, Eric Rowe, Jamal Wiltz. Lamons, of course, had that very nice play on special teams. Could have played a huge part in him making this roster as well. Guys who didn't make the team, Cornell Armstrong, the Dolphins waited for years hoping this guy would develop into something. And then Nick Needham, bless his soul, had such a terrible preseason. He also did not make the team. I think that's just about as far as it goes for the shockers. Just everyone else was the guys that were kind of consensus. Nate Orchard, I would say, was a guy who may have been on the edge, had a great preseason. He made the roster over here on the defensive line. But as for the rest, yeah, the offensive line, man, it's going to be bad. You got Shaq Calhoun, Jesse Davis, man, you got Kilgore, Reed, Starrup, no Laremy Tunsil anymore. It's just going to be bad, guys. I don't know how else to say it. So as for the Dolphins, fantasy football-wise, if you're thinking of picking up somebody from the Miami Dolphins for fantasy football, or if you probably on the waivers now, I think everyone's had their drafts, man, it's very weak out here. I'd say guys that have More value, of course, Preston Williams deep on the waivers, deep, deep leagues. Could have more value towards the middle part of the season when Josh Rosen takes over, of course. Those are the two guys that had the big chemistry together. Devontae Parker, I guess, could see a little bit more of an uptick in volume, but just I would not bet on the guy performing or not getting hurt. Albert Wilson is one guy that should have an opportunity to thrive. He was a yak god last year while he was on the field. That was short because of hip injury, but if he's able to kind of perform in a similar manner, then he should have some sort of value. Maybe in deeper leagues, he could be the occasional flex. I would really have to wait and see how he pans out. But if he gets an increase in volume, then he could be good. But of course, that Gase system really complemented his skill set well. I'm not really sure if he will be utilized in the same manner or have just the same amount of volume. But I know Kenny Stills being gone, that's what one would guess would happen. And then the running backs, Kenny and Drake, I would say is by far the better one. Everyone's on that Kalen Ballage hype train on fantasy that he's going to take over. I just don't think Kalen Ballage is the right fit behind this offensive line. You need a guy with this lateral, crazy, side-to-side ability to turn nothing into something kind of ability that Kenyon Drake has. I think Kalen Ballage is a more traditional back who could function behind a very good offensive line, but in this offensive line where there's going to be tons of guys behind the line of scrimmage and you're going to need to be making people miss from the second you have the ball in your hands, Kenyon Drake's the one who could do that. Now, I don't think he's going to be good at doing it in terms of fantasy, but he is the better of the two in that aspect. And then for the Texans in this trade, this, of course, helps Deshaun Watson a lot. Kenny Stills, I think, will have a lot more fantasy value this year than people think. Now, Deshaun Watson and Will Fuller had a crazy connection, but Will Fuller also gets hurt, and Will Fuller doesn't have the greatest hands. He still uses his body to reel in a ton of these catches. His deep threat ability really saves him on a ton of plays. I do think that Kenny Stills is a very fine-tuned receiver. I think Deshaun Watson will realize that very quick, and I think there is a good chance that Kenny Stills takes over this wide receiver two role in Houston. So that's how I'm going to wrap up this episode, guys. One final note, though, is that the Preston Williams autograph giveaway will be coming to an end on September 2nd. So if you haven't already, all you have to do is retweet the picture I posted of it and also follow the Via the Source Twitter account on Twitter. I will be doing that random picking for the winner on September the 2nd, so you do have one or two more days depending on when you're listening to this, so go hurry up and do it if you haven't already. And guys, I appreciate all the listens. It means a lot. I would love to hear you guys' opinions and just have, you know, these discussions. I'd love to keep it civil. I'm all about the memes, though, so send me a ton of memes about the Dolphins. I love it. And just feel free to reach out, guys. Send me questions. I would love to discuss it on future episodes of the podcast. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at ShadySteven or at Via the Source. Until next time, though, I'm Steven Masso, and this was Via the Source.